We are back. All right. Let's do it, Jared. How are things going? We did all our season preview episodes. We're back for the reporter's corner. No more of these bringing on people who think they know what they're talking about in the conference.
Matt Cavender.
Yeah, we'll get to, you know, and we'll, I'm sure that'll be a topic of conversation throughout the year. Michigan Tech having a pretty good weekend against Minnesota, but we had a great interview today. Jared, how are things going in Bemidji?
Yeah, things are going well. Bees came off a nice sweep. They're back home this weekend. I'm excited to be back in the hockey rink watching the men's team, but we've already covered four women's games, five if you count the exhibition. So we've already been in hockey season. It's been great. This is what we live for, right? This is why we have to slog through the summer. Oh no, all the nice weather. Oh no, all the golf you get to play, Jared. Oh no, no. This is why we grind through those rounds of golf, those 18 holes every day to get to this point. And it's exciting, and it was fun to get college hockey back on our screens this weekend, not just with, you know, the Bees and Tech, but also St. Thomas picking up a nice win over St. Cloud, Augustana tying St. Cloud in exhibition. Because everybody cares about exhibitions. Lake State had a – what did Lake State do? I know they won the Saturday game. I don't know about
– Yeah, I think it was a split. Okay.
Northern.
Goalie
of the year, William Graham.
Yeah.
Coming for your neck, Alex Tracy. So, yeah. But, yeah, no, it's fun, right? I mean, this is what it's all about, and we're so excited to get back to the players and coaches part of – the reporter's corner. So we had a good one on today with Brett Meerman from Augustana. And as a bald guy, I love another bald guy. And we got to talk a lot about the bald guy, Brett Meerman. Trent, what did we get into with Brett about?
Well, before I go further, Lake State swept Stonehill.
Lake
College.
State swept Stonehill.
Had to double check that. 5-3-3-2. So shout out to the Lakers. Great chat today, though, with Brett Meerman. Obviously, days away from the start of the season for Augustana. They'll be playing at UMD this weekend. I know it's a series they're really excited about, but a lot to talk about with Brett for this Augustana team. They were one of five teams in college hockey, didn't lose a single player to the transfer portal. We've brought it up countless times on this show and other shows. But we talked a little bit about what that cohesion's looked like here in the early going and what it was like to just kind of stick around all summer and be with the guys and really kind of take that next step. They got to skate with a pro player too and Walker Dewar. And I know that was a great experience for them. The first South Dakota native to make the NHL, and Walker's now with the Winnipeg Jets. So looking forward to seeing what he does this year. And there was no shortage of fun things to talk about in Brett's career. He's from Alberta, rural Alberta, grew up in a town called Black Folds, Alberta. Eventually they got a junior hockey team too, about a year into his junior hockey career. And so he got the chance to come back home and play for the inaugural team in his hometown, which he was the captain. Had a 100-point season in his final season of juniors. And talked a little bit about how he made his way to Augustana and what those first few years looked like. And then, of course, we got to ask him about guys like Josh Kotai, Hunter Bischoff. Jared, we said, I think it's one of our favorite episodes that we've recorded. Certainly up there. I mean, Brett was a great chat. And this is, like many teams in this conference, an intriguing team going into the season, and really interested to see what the Vikings look like this year, and what I think could be a really special season for a team that won 18 games last year.
Yeah, no, this is probably on my Mount Rushmore of TRC interviews that we've done. I mean, he was a funny kid. Like we usually try and jot down some of the moments that we could kind of look back on, and my whole notebook's full. Like he's a good kid. And we did get into the bald aspect of hockey and the trials.
I was outnumbered here.
Well,
so we had
now,
to like bring it
for
up.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, for now.
But we did talk about the that trials and tribulations of losing your hair in your early 20s and just, you know, the gut check time decisions it comes down to. So it was a good one. It was a great chat. Great way to kick off the year again. And looking forward to doing more. So here's our interview with Brett Meerman. All right. It's time for our first player interview of the new season. And who else do we have other than Augustana's Brett Mierman? Brett, thanks for joining the show. You know, thanks for hopping on. Just how excited are you to get this season underway?
Yeah, obviously pretty fired up. A lot of us stayed over the summer and got our work in. So finally ready to get let out of the cage here.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's an anticipated weekend. You got a little taste last weekend in St. Cloud, but an exhibition isn't the real thing, obviously. And, you know, just how exciting is it after, like you said, a long summer where a lot of guys stayed back to work, that you're finally getting ahead of it and going into Minnesota Duluth for your first game this season?
Yeah, obviously it's super exciting. I think we've put a lot of emphasis in practice just on the energy level and all that stuff. But obviously it's, you can't really get to that point until you're in a game. So I'm excited to see how the boys actually raise their energy level to get there.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about sort of the off season kind of going into this, because I think the big storyline out of Augustana is, you know, five teams in the country didn't lose a single player to the transfer portal, Augie being one of them. And, in this era of college hockey, I think that's a pretty considerable and remarkable feat. What do you feel like that's a testament to, just in terms of being able to keep this roster almost entirely intact? And how do you see it as a benefit as you guys kind of get ready for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think it's just a culture thing. I mean, I think even like there's guys that like didn't play a lot last year, and like, no, maybe they're not going to play a lot this year, but it doesn't matter. Like, everyone like wants to work for that spot. Everyone wants to be together. It's not about individuals here. It's about like being together and being with the boys. And I don't think we have any guy that strays away from the pack. Like, it's all just kind of like a pack mentality. We're all just together. And I think guys are willing to work for their spots here, which I think is a good thing to have.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned it, right? You guys stuck around in the summer. How many guys on the team were around Sioux Falls this summer?
Oh, there's probably 20 plus. It depended on like the weekend. Like, some guys, obviously, like, I didn't have the luxury to go home on the weekend if my family was having something. But a lot of the guys, like Monday to Friday, like more than 80% of the team this year.
How does that kind of feed into that culture building side of things when it's, you know, it's not just like you're here for 8 months out of the year and you go home. It's, you guys are actively working, trying to build towards something here with this group.
I think it makes it a lot easier. I think especially for like the new guys coming in, like when you have new guys coming in and you kind of throw them into the fire at the start of the year, it's tough for them. So I think having that first month or two to kind of take them under your wing and show them how you do things and how the team does things, just to like kind of lead the way for them. I think that makes it a lot easier, because then they're not scrambling during the year. They're scrambling during the summer, and then they figure it out by the time the year starts. So I also think that has a lot to do with like the camaraderie of the room. Like, I feel like we're probably tighter than most teams are already, because we've all been making fun of each other since June. So
now when it comes to these summer practices, how, like, were you skating at the Shields Iceplex? Where were you guys finding ice? How often were you able to find ice? Walk us through maybe some of the ins and outs of training together as a team in the summer.
Midco was pretty open most of the time. Like, I remember after the season, there's like some guys that like to skate in the summer more than others. I feel like as soon as the season's done, there's a couple guys that want to take a couple weeks off. Whereas me, I feel like I just always want to be on the ice. So I feel like I would have like a routine. You could go on whenever you wanted, honestly. Like, I have the rink guy's number, so I just ask him if he could zam the ice at a certain period of time. So like that way it's super easy. And Eric does a great job with that too. Like, all he asks is put the nets off to the side when, like, closest to the Zamboni door when you're done. Like, other than that, it's pretty much free reigns. And like I said, you can pretty much go out whenever you want. It's just clean up after you're done.
I gotta ask too, I mean, the accessibility to the rink just feels like such a plus that maybe a lot of schools the size of Augustana probably don't have,
right?
Especially in the summer. I mean, just talk about that side of it, where you're not only encouraged to stay in town and work together as a group, but they kind of roll out the red carpet for you, as you know, hey, text the rink guy, he'll get you, he'll clean the sheet for you for whenever you want it. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like even with him, like, cause he has access to the lights in the arena are like on his phone, and he's like he sent me the login for it. So like when I go in and he's not there, I can just turn the lights on and off. And like, thankfully he trusts me to do that. I mean, but
that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's not really like anything I've had before. So it's pretty nice. It's a good luxury to have.
I got one more about the summer, then we'll get into the rest of it. But Walker Duer, Sioux Falls guy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that
yep.
right.
Yeah, you got it.
Obviously, just talk about it. He skated with you guys a little bit in Sioux Falls, I've heard. So what was that like?
It was pretty cool. I feel like some guys were a little timid to go with him in a couple drills. So I found myself going with him a lot. Obviously very like explosive like skater, but like very like just good dude, honestly. Like he'll give you pointers if you ask. He's not gonna like go out of his way to do it, but like if like you ask him, like he's more than willing to offer help. And he's just a play driver. Like when he really turned it on, you're like, all right, this is why he's where he is, you know what I mean? So obviously it was really good to just like see that, and like his kind of demeanor on the ice. And it was just a cool like role model experience, I feel like, for a lot of guys.
No Do you ever chirp him in some of those line rushes there?
Oh, I gave him probably the biggest pizza when we were playing this small area game. I gave to end the game, I gave him like the worst turnover right in front of the net, and he scored, and I just got off the ice. I was so mad. Like I was like he just read me like he just like fooled me. Like he held his stick one way, I passed it, and he just jumped on and scored. And then the game was over, and I was just like, that was so embarrassing.
a total pro. Walker's a great interview, great guy, and fast. I mean, if you're on the ice with him too, you definitely see the NHL speed. That had to be an awesome experience. But we got to get into it. I mean, this isn't a reporter's corner if we don't, you know, get into the hockey journey a little bit. And I think your story is really cool, Brett. We've talked a lot about it in the past. You grew up in Black Falls, Alberta. It's a small town just north of Red Deer. It's about halfway between Calgary and Edmonton. I mean, what can you tell us about life in rural Alberta, and what were those early playing days like for you at the youth level?
I don't know. It was honestly like growing up, like it was just playing with my buddies, but it was just like, it was honestly super nice, because one of my buddies actually, his dad was coaching I guess it would be high school hockey here. He was coaching like the high school hockey team at the same time as an assistant coach. And then he was coaching our like U6 or U7 or whatever it was team.
Right.
And so right from that age, it was like we were treated like we were high schoolers, and like some parents hated it, obviously, but some people like rose because of it. And like he always made me do extra. Me and a couple guys would always like have to do like different variations of drills, and like he knew what he was doing. And like honestly, I credit him a lot to like how he, out of like a small town, he made it seem like a lot more like professional than it probably was, especially from a young age.
Yeah, I mean, that I want it, like I've kind of noticed that right here, like at every local level I've been at of just the hockey, right? It's that continuity from the high school level kids, whether it's in Canada or the US, to, you know, all the way down to when kids are first tying their skates and playing team hockey beyond just, you know, stick and puck league on a Wednesday night for 5-year-olds, right? Like once you get to squirts, that continuity is so important. Just talk about how maybe that continuity helped you as a hockey player go through the ranks and really hone in on what you're good at.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know, it's kind of hard to put into perspective. Like I feel like when I was younger, like especially like in a small town, like not to be that guy, but like there's there's five guys on a team that are going to be a lot better than everyone else. You know what I mean? And so right from a young age, it was always like I had the regular season of playing with my buddies in Black Falls. But then I would go to spring hockey where it was like, it was all the good kids from all around on one team. So like, it kind of was like a reality check a lot of times during spring hockey, which was nice. But I think it was good because it allowed you to like work during that regular season, like knowing, and then going into like spring hockey was honestly more the season to me than it was. Like, I feel like I remember a lot more of spring hockey than I do of like regular season.
It's probably more competitive for you and like your talent level, you know, the kids around you too, for sure. But you start playing juniors at 17 and played 4 years of junior hockey, which is a lot of junior hockey, man. I mean, that's like 250 junior hockey games. Like,
yeah,
it's nuts. But obviously you start in the BC. It says some paperwork decision or paperwork issues forced you to make a last second decision and look elsewhere. You get in contact with the Grand Prairie Storm in the AJHL. You travel 10 hours by yourself to Grand Prairie, get your first experience in juniors. Really talk to me about how you got into junior hockey a little bit better than I just did.
Oh, it was, I grew up real quick in those like that month and a half. Like I feel like I went to Salmon Arm, I was in school, I was practicing, and at the time Scott Atkinson was their coach, and he's like, he's an older guy and he's like known for being a hardo, and so we had these like brutal practices, and I remember like I was like kind of having these paperwork issues, and it was always like, okay, like we're waiting on it, and like then you'll be able to play. And it was just like, I've always been like a guy where I'm like, all right, if it works out, it works out. I'm just gonna work, and then if it doesn't, then we'll figure it out from there. And the way they made it seem, it was like, okay, like it's gonna get figured out in a couple of days. And then it like kept going. And I'm just doing these scratch skates where I'm just getting bagged. And I'm just like this, like I'm like I feel like I have a pretty good attitude 90% of the time. And I'm finally like, it's the end of the month. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Like, this is insane. And then finally they were like, look, like, I don't know if this is going to happen. And there's like a school kid deadline when you're in junior. So it was like before October, like 15th or whatever, you have to like be settled in a spot for like school purposes. And then, so I had to like just pretty much scramble to find a team. And then my buddy, Cade Mason, he used to play at LIU. He actually he was playing at GP, and so I was like, I just texted like him and like the GM, because like I'd been talking to them before, and I was like, is there like any chance? And it ended up working out, so I pretty much had 2 days to pack my stuff into my 1994 Mazda tiny car and drive from Salmon Arm, British Columbia to Grand Prairie, Alberta. So
holy cow, man. That's
that was a rough first month.
You know, obviously it's been a while since you went through that process, right? But you're on the other side of it. It's 7 years removed from that. Was there ever any doubt in that, you know, in your hockey ability to make it worth it through all of the hurdles that you had to go through?
Honestly, I feel like I'm pretty confident in myself. Like I've always like known what I can do if I'm in the right spot. Like, I feel like it's always just like, I'm a big believer in like, if you work for it, like it's gonna work out. And so I feel like, I mean, there's multiple times where I'm like, all right, what am I doing? Like COVID year, we play 18 games. Like that was a big, like, whoa, like what's going on? Like, is this going to affect me long-term? Like, is this like, so that was a little scary. But I think as soon as that passed, I was kind of like, okay, like it's go time. Like I'm going to figure it out here. And I feel like I just kind of stuck the course, and I'm happy the way things worked out, obviously.
Yeah.
two seasons with the Storm, you know, you had 33 points, 13 goals, 20 assists, 67 games. But then, I mean, that is honestly the bigger story of your junior career. 2019, Calgary Mustangs get relocated and moved to your hometown in Blackfolds. And, you know, as the hometown guy, you're named the inaugural captain of that Blackfolds Bulldogs team. What did it mean to you to just be the first captain of a new AJHL team in your hometown?
Obviously, it was super cool. I mean, we had like every fan that came to the game was like someone I knew. Like, it was like, I felt like you could look around in every section and I'd know somebody. So I feel like that was like a super, super honored to like wear the C there, obviously. But I think just being a part of it as a whole was more rewarding. Just like the community, like kind of bonding over a team. Like, hockey's always been like a thing there, but they've never really had any, like, they had a junior B team when I was younger, but other than that, there wasn't a lot to rally around. So I thought it was super cool. And obviously playoff time, we were selling out the arena and stuff. Like, it was just super cool to see that, especially considering there was probably about the same amount of people in the building there as when I was born in Blackfolds. So it's grown a lot. So it was super cool to see.
It kind of seemed like that's when your junior career really started to take off too. I mean, you had 63 points in year one, you make the playoffs in 2022. You know, in 2022-23, you had 109 points in 76 games. It's like some of these CHL numbers we see now. It's nuts. You know, and that was for a Bulldogs team that made a deep run in the Centennial Cup. Falling to a really good Brooks Bandit team too that won the Centennial Cup. Just what allowed you to make that big jump in around that time and take that next step forward in your hockey career?
I think there was a couple things. I think we added a lot of pieces like around me. I feel like our first year it was kind of like I don't know if you ever saw, but have you ever checked the first score of a Blackfolds Bulldogs game in history?
I have not. No.
Yeah, so our first game, we decided, let's play with the Brooks Bandits to show them that we're the real deal. And I'm the only guy that's ever played junior before. And we lose 17-0.
Wow.
It was the worst game I've ever been a part of in my life. Like, I was this is the worst day of my life. Like, and so as soon as that happened, it was like, all right, maybe we need to rethink what's going on. And I felt like I was a manager at that point. I was texting all my buddies that weren't playing a lot on other teams and was like, hey, like, you should come to Blackfolds. It's awesome. Like, after we just lost 17-0, we're like, yeah, I'm sure it's awesome right now. I'm like, okay. But so obviously that's, and then honestly, there was probably two of them that actually came, but there was a lot of moving around after that. And I feel like that first year was a lot of like figuring out. The last half of the year, we were actually good. First year was a lot of growing, and then the second year we kind of had some of those pieces come back, and then added to that. So made it a lot easier for me. Cause I had a little bit of, people to start with on the ground, get running. So, that was good.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because I put these questions together earlier today, and I came across that, and it was at the same time, and it would have been exactly the same year. I just talked with Josh Kotai last week, 2 weeks ago, about his junior career. We were talking about it, and that Brooks Bandit's team beat his team to win the Centennial Cup. So there's, you know, there's now these, it's one of those, college hockey is much smaller than we think, right? Or the hockey world is much more insular than we think.
How much does he give it to you about that game? He's got to give it to you every now and then.
Oh, he didn't play his team.
No, didn't play me. Didn't play me.
Yeah, it was the Brooks Bandits team.
Gotcha.
Beat them in the AJHL championship. But they ended up going on to win the Centennial Cup that year. Just another interesting little side piece to it, because you make your way to Augustana. And obviously, I'm just curious to know, what can you just sort of tell us how you end up on the Vikings radar? I know it's a former coach, right? It was Andy, who's no longer there. And, he's kind of the one who made the inlets, but how did you sort of end up on the Vikings radar, and what ultimately went into your decision to join Augustana?
I think it was kind of just that 20-year-old year. Like, it was actually kind of crazy because my buddy that was actually, or no, my, it was one of my teammates. He was living with me at the time because obviously I lived at home in Black Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the very start of the year. And it was like, he came a little early just to like hang out before and like get like settled in my place. And he ended up showing me like this video, and it was of Augustana. I had no idea what it was at the time. And he shows me this video, and he's like, dude, this place looks sick. Like, I could see you going there. Like, that'd be like a new spot.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh yeah, like that does look sick. But like, I don't know. There's no rink or anything. Like, I was saying, I was like, it doesn't look that sick. Like, I was like, yeah, but like, that would be cool. I mean, I was like, new team here. Done that before. And then he was like, yeah, like that'd be cool. And then I don't know, he just, that was the first like time I really even heard about it. And then I think it was like four games into the year, you do like the showcase, and we actually hosted it in Black Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And so we host it, and like the first guy I talked to was Andy, and he just like seemed like a pretty, I mean, he's a Boston guy. He's not going to like beat around the bush with you. Like, he was like straight up told me what I was good at, told me what I sucked at, told me what he thinks I could do with the program. And like, just, he was just honest with me. And like, I'm used to that. Like, I like a straight shooter. So I was like, so that was kind of just like the start of it. And then just progressively talked from there and then figured things out. I don't know.
Yeah. Can you recall, we love asking this question, but I feel like I asked you this too when we talked, and, you know, I did a feature on you last year. Can you recall a specific sort of welcome to college hockey moment in that first year? I think go ahead.
Nelly gives it to me every single day. If I have a slow first step on the half ball, and he tells me every time. So it was Wisconsin Kohl Center.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I get the puck on the wall and I start skating like straight line up the wall. And it looks like I'm pulling a trailer. Like, I'm going so slow. It is unbelievable. And I think I'm moving, and this guy just comes behind me and just strips the puck. Just goes back in the zone. And then Tyson Jugnauth, the same shift. I go out at him at the blue line, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to bait this guy middle, and then he's going to go there, and then I'm going to poke it from him. He goes middle, and then I jump, and then he goes back the other way. I fall over, and I was like, this is a tough start. Like, that was all in the first shift. So I think that was my welcome to college hockey shift. And thankfully it went up from there.
I mean, it can't get much worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so, but you finished the season, right? You finished that 23-24 season, 13 points, 3 goals, 10 assists. Just talk about the lessons you learned, right? I mean, it wasn't just, a new emergence into college hockey for you. It was for a lot of guys on that team. And, you know, even for the guys who transferred in playing at other schools, it was, hey, we're doing this together. We're breaking in this new program together. You know, just talk about the things you learned and you got to build on as you moved into your sophomore year.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just came with, obviously, like, you adjust to the speed at the start. And I think the biggest thing is like being like trusted by the coaching staff. I think if you're a guy that like puts up numbers, I feel like you also have to, like, in junior, it's different. Like, sometimes you get a little, like, your leash is a little longer. Like, you go out and you're like supposed to score goals. Like, if you miss a guy on a back check, it's like, don't like get back on the back check, but it's like nothing's actually happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that was kind of my situation. And then when I got here, it was kind of like, all right, you miss that guy on the back check, you're not playing next game. So it's like, you kind of learn real quick where it's like, okay, like, you got to develop that consistency in your game and like that trustworthy spot. I don't know, like, you just got to be trusted in all situations if you want to actually play more than little minutes.
Was Was there a moment during that first year of Augie hockey where it kind of set in that, hey, like, this is real. Like, we got something real here that, you know, I know we're a first year program. We're playing a bunch of, essentially playing an independent schedule. We're playing in two different buildings, but where it started to feel like you had something real going.
Yeah. I mean, obviously everyone, if you asked, would say that Denver CC series. But to be quite honest with you, like, should we have won that game in a shootout? Probably not. So I think like that was wrong. That was one where it was like we won, but it was like, and it like felt good. But then you like look back at it and you're like, all right, we probably like definitely shouldn't have won that game. The CC one, on the other hand, like I felt I was actually in the stands for that game. But the CC game, we actually like I felt like we'd look like the better team, and that was the time when I was like, okay, like we're actually pretty good, like, because we just squeaked out a win the night before, but then we went into it like another team that was also ranked, and it was like, all right, we actually beat these guys, like it was
undefeated at the time too.
Yeah, like it wasn't like a fluke win, like kind of like the Denver was. But I don't know, I think that was the first time when we were kind of like, okay, like we're actually pretty good.
the shootout tie, I always go back to my favorite moment in that game, and you probably remember this, was Numo. The puck's going down to the net, and he just like reaches out and hits it away from the net. If he doesn't do that, Augie doesn't get the game tying goal to send it to a shootout where they eventually won the shootout. It's just an incredible effort play, and I'll never forget just getting the chance to ask Garrett about that afterwards, because I knew he was just going to speak glowingly about that effort play. And I'm sure you remember that very vividly too. I thought the CC game dominated the whole game. I mean, really, it was truly one start to finish by Augustana. Josh Kotai, who is a great segue, because that's what we want to ask about next. It was his first signature win with this program. Certainly helped last season to have one of the best goaltenders in college hockey on your side. His numbers were impressive. We'll give him to you quick. 31 appearances, 1.92 GAA, 936 save percentage, 3 shutouts. You know, what makes him such a special player, and what can you just tell us about his preparation and how much of an advantage he gives this team?
He's an alien. That's what it
is. He's something. He's like, I don't know, he's just such a competitor. Like there's been a lot of times in the summer where, again, he's another guy that like always wants to be on the ice. So there's been multiple times where it's just me and him. Mm-hmm. And we'll do this game where it's like, I have a minute to score whatever. I think it's 3 pucks. And we'll do like a best of 7 at the end. And it's just a banger for both of us. But like, we're both really? Like, and it's like, we're both like wired where it's like, we're getting pissed off at the other guy. So it's like, it's one of those things. And like, he's always like that. Like, I feel like, I don't know how the other goalies feel about it, but he takes a lot of shots in practice. Like, he always wants to be in the net. He's not the guy that takes 5 shots and goes to the corner. Like, he's like, wow, always wanting to be in there. And like, even as a starter, like, I feel like morning skate, like most goalies will want to get their touches and then get out and get focused, where he's mm-hmm. like, sometimes he's the last goalie on the ice. Like, it's like kind of crazy. Like, he like loves the work, and like, it's honestly really nice as a player, because you always want a goalie to be in the net, and he's like always willing to be that guy, which is nice. And kind of to go off your other point, like, it obviously just gives you like so much, like, you feel a lot more like free to play your game when you have a guy like that behind you. Like, I find, like, personally, like, I, like, if he, I don't know, but, like, he's a guy where it's, like, if you, like, mess up, there's a lot of the times he's going to bail you out. Not that, like, that gives you, like, leeway to
100%. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. And I think the learning how to play winning hockey just comes with experience and playing time, right? Like, you're going to learn to avoid those plays, you know, and you're going to learn how to just naturally, your game is automatically going to, because of reps and practice. I want to ask about another guy though too. I want to ask about Hunter Bischoff. Obviously, you know, returning points leader along with you last season. Both you guys, same class, we're here together. You've been here every step of the way. You know, he's the captain. What makes him such a worthy person for that captaincy?
I think he just does. Like he doesn't mess up. It's I've never like played with a guy where it's like he's like never in the wrong spot. Like there's like I'm sure like he would not say the same thing about me, but there's like a lot of times where it's like you end up like in the corner and you're like, oh, I just screwed up. Like I hope he's like F3. Like I hope he's the high guy and is covering me right now and he's there. Or oh, I'm gassed. Like I don't think I'm gonna be able to catch this guy on the back check. I hope Bish has some legs. He's there. Yep. Like it's just one of those guys and like such a good defensive stick, like makes life a lot easier for everyone else on the ice. Like there's just everything he does is just kind of lead by example. I mean, that's the best way to put it, I'd say.
I got to ask about last year because it was kind of the quintessential up and down year, right? I mean, you had, for you personally, you had 23 points, which tied the league, you know, the team high, but Augustana was like their true breakthrough. They, you know, number two team in the CCHA, home ice for the CCHA playoffs. And then again, you run into the Beavs, and it was a tough, tough, punishing, grinded out series. How much does the end of last year kind of fuel you guys going into this year?
Yeah, obviously, I think it puts a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. I think, I don't know, like we always talk about it like in the room, and it's like, like there's so much talk about like how we like swept CC or we swept Omaha, and it's like we've accomplished all these great things, but it's like we haven't won a series, so it's like it's not like we're this mighty beast that like some people say. Like it's
right,
we still like consider ourselves underdogs in the fact that like we haven't really proved anything yet. So I think just having that mentality that like you still have something to prove every time you go on the ice is kind of what we take under our wing. And so I feel like we just kind of run with that and just do our thing.
Well, you've been here with these guys all summer, and this is, you know, this is the last question we got for you before we get into some one-time or some fun stuff. But, you know, you just kind of the gauge that you've gotten with what you've seen from these guys that you've been with all summer. What feels different about this year's team compared to the first two Augustana teams that you were part of?
It is, I think we have a lot more like playmaking ability. Like I feel like we're quicker on pucks. I feel like we're quicker to like make plays. And I also feel like I feel like maybe it's just because I'm one of the older ones now, but
yeah,
like there's not like guys that are like a lot older than me. So like sometimes it feels like we're not as old, but I feel like we're maybe even older.
Three seniors, like, right? I think it's only three seniors. So
I think we all, yeah. Yeah.
Three or four.
Yeah. So I think it's just a little different in that aspect where like you don't feel like you're older, but you are. But other than that, I think it's just the speed of the game that we're playing at. I feel like we're all playing at a pretty high level right now. And this group's come together pretty quick. But at the same time, all of our other groups have too. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how this year plays out for sure.
All right. Now it's time to get into the fun stuff because I've been waiting to ask another Sioux Falls resident some questions.
So. I'm right here, dude.
Yeah, I know your answer. So we do this every week. Favorite place to eat in Sioux Falls?
Oh, I like that.
I'm going to be honest. I don't go out to eat, really.
Really?
That doesn't surprise me. You seem kind of...
Chick-fil-A on campus? Is that what you're...
No, I will never... Like, I don't think I've gotten it once this year. I'm serious. Like, it's pretty much free with, like, a meal swipe, but I still just don't think I've...
Just cook at home, or...
No, the dining hall is like right across the road.
Commons, come on.
It's they got a new spot now. They got the simple servings, or it's just straight up rice, meat, and or meat and potatoes or
at Whole Foods. I was telling Jared about it, how it's been completely renovated. Did you ever go in there, Jared? The whole dining hall's been redone.
No, served us prison food when I went to college.
Oh, it's better now. I'm also not picky at all, though. I feel like some guys are kind of princesses when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. What dorm did you stay in freshman year?
Oh, I was in Wagner.
Oh, that's like a new one, too. You're in the posh dorms, man. Like,
yeah.
What were you, Berg?
I was Berg. Berg 420. Yep. I looked right at it's right across from where the rink is right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just a short walk back from the Crowbar Casino.
I like Berg soccer. how about this one? And I think I remember you talking about this. Is there a pro player that you've kind of grown up admiring the most and like just kind of maybe somebody you model your game after?
I'd say like when I was like really little, I didn't model my game after him at all. I just loved watching Ovechkin. I don't know. Right. I just love, like, I'm a very like talkative guy at the rink and I love to play hockey. And like, I just found like he was like an older guy that loved the game. Like it didn't matter. Like he loved scoring goals, loved being with the guys. Like, so I just kind of felt like I had like the same energy as him at the rink. If I was like, pick like a player, I'd say.
Like current?
Yeah. Current player. I'd say maybe like a. Maybe like a Gensel, maybe.
Maybe like a
Gensel. I'd like.
I see that.
I think that fits better than Ovechkin right now. I don't see you top of the circle.
I'm not a big.
Brett, you got a good shot, but that's giving your shot a little too much credit. You're a Caps guy though, right? You're a Caps fan, right?
Yeah.
Let's go here. Tough 3 years in college hockey. Where's the toughest place to play in the CCHA?
I mean, it was definitely the toughest 7 minutes I've played. But it was in Tech. I think Tech was year tough. One? I remember. Yeah, year one. I just got scratched two in a row, and I took a tripping penalty in my first shift, and then. I looked to my right and there's two people dressed as pandas in the middle of November.
Yes.
And I remember just looking over and just like, I was like, what is going on?
Oh,
then they just like start laughing and they're like, we got them. And I was like, what is going on? So that was, but they're loud. And I feel like once you're actually like there, like once I'm actually like playing, that'll be probably one of the harder ones.
What about outside of the CCHA? Toughest non-con building you've been in?
He can't say Grand Forks because he went up there and dominated last year during an exhibition.
they were right over us when we were walking out, but I don't know. Yep. I don't even really remember what was going on. I think personally, probably that first game in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That first game in Wisconsin.
That was the first game in the Hastings era too, so I'm sure they packed it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy packed actually, but I remember after the first intermission, I was like, I always give high fives to the guys after, like I've just always done that since I was younger, and like then I go in, and I remember it was like I'm getting like balding chants at me, and I'm like, it's my first college hockey game. I'm like, how do these people have their research?
How do they know?
Like, yeah, I was like, what's? But I mean, I guess national anthem, so I guess that got me. But I don't know. That was probably the only one that I really remember.
Mm-hmm. How about this? We like to ask this one too. Looking back on your days, and it can be from your junior career, it can be from your college career. Maybe if you've gotten the chance to skate with some pros and whatnot too, that a lot of guys do. Who's the most talented hockey player that you've ever played with before?
At any level.
Most talented I've played with. I honestly, I don't even know. I feel like with or against.
It could be either.
Yeah, you can say against.
Or I guess with. I remember it was actually when I was like younger, like those spring hockey days. Jake Neighbors, he plays on the Blues now. But me and him were both just like thick kids when we were younger and would just take turns running each other over. Like, and it was just, I just remember that was my big rivalry when I was younger. But I also remember like, he was also on my team for like a U16 Alberta thing. He was on my team. So he was probably one of the most skilled players I've played with. Also, I don't know if you know the name, but Kyle Krankovic, I think he's in the Coast right now, but undersized guy. But when we were younger, he was like leaps and bounds. Like I was like, this guy's unbelievable. Other than that, it's just kind of, you grow up and it's, you got new guys on your team and some guys figure it out, some don't. It's not so much to do with skill as smarts and all that stuff. So kind of harder to think about now than.
Yeah. What about most underrated hockey player you've ever played with that maybe just kind of flew under the radar, but you're like, you got to see this kid play. Like he's nasty. You can pick a teammate for this one too, right now, if you need.
I'd probably go Bomber then, like Baumgartner on our team. Like that guy, like
I'm with you, man.
He's so silk. I don't know what it is. He lives at the rink too, though.
I was gonna say I've been in there like three times during the summer, and I'll hear shots going off, so I'll just walk up and take a look. It's just him. Mm-hmm. It's just him out there. And I swear this happened multiple times. I was interviewing Josh Kotai 2 weeks ago. Owen's out there. Everybody else is down in the lobby, listening to music, you know, just kind of warming up. And Owen's out there on the ice. Like, yeah, you're right. I kind of am with you on that.
Yeah, no, he's super skilled. Obviously, like, he's got a lot of patience with the puck. And he's quick once he gets out of those turns. Like, I don't know. I think he'll have a good year this year. I hope so anyways, because he works for it. So
yeah,
we've gotten some good answers for this. You know, we've started asking this one, what, like midway through last season, Jared?
Yeah.
And we've gotten some really entertaining ones with this. You know, you come across so many connections, you meet so many people. Who's the most famous person in your cell phone?
My cell phone?
This dude's like, I don't even own a cell phone. Like,
I don't even know.
Who do we have last year that was kind of the top of the chart?
Aaron Trotter said he had Connor Bedard's number.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah, I think that's
that was the best one. He beat Lucia. So I don't.
Yeah, Don didn't even have that, huh?
No. Don said even Mike Emmer.
Oh yeah. Is there a rad one? Because he might be my most famous person.
Yeah, I mean, pump his tires a little bit. I'll tell him. I don't know.
I'm almost wondering too, because you know, growing up in Black Falls, it's not like you're skating around.
It's not like you're in Med Hat, like
yeah.
I mean, I guess like maybe Jake Neighbors, if that's like one. That you could
definitely
say,
counts. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'd say probably him.
Hell yeah. Well, I got two more for you, and they're the funnest ones we got. First one is, who is the best who is the best golfer on the team and the biggest sandbagger?
Best golfer, probably. I've honestly I don't really go out golfing when I'm here. I used to just save that for when I'm home, but. Because I'm too cheap. but I'd say I've heard like the Hennins are good. Both of them are good. Both of them shoot under par sometimes. And then sandbagger, I'd definitely say Colton Friesen. Because I feel like he will always tell you that he's worse than he is. So he gets more strokes and then he beats you.
Why like, am I not surprised by this?
Because that's what he'd do 100%.
The last question I got for you, and it's a special question. It's the first time it's ever been
asked. I know exactly where this is going.
When did you decide to shave the head? As a bald guy myself.
Yeah.
When did the
Let's see it, Brett. Come on. You got me outnumbered right now.
Yeah. And
I knew this was gonna happen at some
there
point.
There we go. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like I remember right when I got here, Nelly always told me stories and he was kind of like, yeah, like I had a teammate that had the same thing in college. And then he was like, at one point, like the boys just told him like, hey, dude, you got to let it go. And he just like literally like it was like he said it was at a party and he went downstairs and he shaved his head and he came back upstairs at the party and like was just like he just owned it and embraced it. I don't even know.
I think it might be Chad Billings.
I think that might be his name.
Yeah.
I thought you said Chad.
Oh my God.
At one of our road trips, he ended up like meeting him for coffee or something. So it would have been
Chad Billings.
Yeah.
He was a co-captain on the national championship team.
Because I remember I saw him right at like, I saw them like having a coffee in the lobby. And then Nelly, of course, comes up to me and was like, that's the guy. I was like, all right. But I don't know what the last straw was. I just remember it was like we were like about to go to Alaska or something. And I was like, no one's going to see. Like I don't know why I thought this, but I was like, oh, no one's going to see me for a couple weeks anyways. And I was like thinking, I'm like. But then I'm like, all right, it's not going to grow back for the next 30 years anyway. So I was like, what? But
it's not like if I cut it, it's going to start working its magic.
Yeah, I think the final straw was seriously just I would always wear a hat and it was fine. But I was more of like a backwards hat guy than a forwards hat guy. And you can probably see it here. But like. It would like split in the middle. So I'd have hair on the side and hair on the other side.
It's like a reverse widow's peak.
Yeah, it was a reverse widow's peak. And I remember looking and I was like, you know what? If I can't even hide this with a hat on, what am I doing? Like, I was like, this is brutal. And it was like, you go out for meals on a Thursday night and it's like no hats. And I'm like, okay, this is like my biggest nightmare. Like, this is terrible.
Oh, man.
So at that point I was just like, man, like it's just time to let it go.
Well, first, you look like a nail gun. I mean, it's like you look like an absolute nail gun out there. But I got like I did the same thing kind of as you, where like the no hat situations were like terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely terrifying.
Like I when I was in college, my last semester, I used to work at Lids, the hat store in the mall, just picking up beer money on the weekends, right? And like, I used to have hair that went like halfway down my back. I had like thick red hair, big flow. I had the man bun going through the back of the snap.
Oh, Jared.
And like we got like a new shipment of hats in one day, and I'm like, oh, these are sick. Like they got a Twins hat for me in here, everything. And I was like trying on some of the hats and I like took one of the hats off and it like put back like the mane of hair and you could just see it thinning through it. And it was the first time in a hat store. I was like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. I'm going bald at like 23 years old. Oh yeah. My God, this is over. And it sucks. He's like, my dad's got perfect hair. His dad had perfect hair. Everybody. Except for me.
I think it's mom's father, if I remember.
Yeah,
he was
bald at like 20. So that's
Yeah, so I had my dad has like the same as me. My dad has four brothers, same thing. And my mom's dad was bald. So I was like, look, I just don't got any hope here. There's nothing there's nothing going good for me here. So
my best friend had to do it too, man. And you know what, Brett? We are proud of you for just
this. We
accepting
are a
it, man.
Bald show here.
We are 100%, dude. As a matter of fact,
players in the CCHA are welcome on this show. We're going to create an all bald team.
You know what, Trent? You got the beard going. I think you should take the.
It
razor.
Would go good. Rip it would off, go Trent. Good with it. Rip it you off. Know what? I got to ask my wife about it, but I think she. Might be into this, like just you know.
If you take it off, I'll come on more often.
There we go. Okay.
We'll give you a weekly spot of Trent shaves hair.
Trio of skinheads here.
It's funny because I ran into over the summer, I ran into Will, and Owen one night, and they said you were inside. I believe it was Pave or something. You were right outside there. And I said, Brett's in there?
Couldn't have been Pave.
Couldn't have been Pave.
I'll stay away from Pave at all.
Good answer.
You were somewhere around there, and they were like, Brett's in there. And I said, does he still have the bald head? And they were like, Oh yeah. And I go, good, man. I just told him, and I was like, I'm just so proud of him for committing to this.
I think it could have been a one-off thing. I think they told me that. I do remember that.
We got to find another bald player in the CCHA, and you guys can do like a post-game jersey swap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Jared.
Or a razor swap.
Yeah. I got a good one. I need mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't get mine up either. Once you go bald, you got to shell out a lot of money for a good razor.
Yep. Yeah. You got to lock it down, dude.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to get some feelers out for Perry and see if he can start IDing all the bald players across the league. We'll just send emails to all the SIDs, say, if you have bald players, we need to know because we're gonna have a communal episode.
Coached by Tom Ceratori.
Coached by Tom Ceratori, man. Bill Buckle. I mean, the league is loaded with him now, man.
Yeah, we have the best bald coaches in the country.
We do.
Rams has got to get on board.
I know, man. He's falling behind.
Oh, I think he gives it to me more than anyone else. So I don't know if he'll hop on the train.
you just got to chirp him for caring too much about his looks. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Pretty boy Team USA with his big flowing hair.
Yeah, I can't say too much because his team's beat mine a couple times.
Oh, it's true. That's true.
Yeah.
True.
Soon as Canada wins one, maybe I'll be in his ear a little bit.
There you go.
Until then, I have to wait.
Yeah, just do a little bet. Like, hey, I'll shave my head if the Americans win, you shave yours if the Canadians.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. That's all we got for you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Brett.
For hopping on the show. This was a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Once again, thank you to Brett Meerman for joining the show. And thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at TrendSinger and at Jared Urbato PP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.